You guys want to come up?
I'd like to invite the two Davids to make a special special announcement. Wow, wow. We have two this time.
Yeah, two D's are better than one.
All right, so these two tzaddiks are part of the team officially, so I'm going to let you guys take it away.
I'll let David start.
So we're very happy, you know, we came to Miami together. And we wanted to, you know, start something here, bring the energy from Brooklyn, and bring everybody. It doesn't matter what your religious level is.
The energy, not the weather.
Not the weather, definitely not the weather.
Do the weather there.
No matter what level you are, we want everybody to come, feel welcome, and just learn something new every single time. Because especially what Jonathan's teaching about Bitachon, there's something from every class you can take away and literally apply it to the week. When you start your new week, apply it. It's a perfect time, Monday, because then you have, you know, the rest of the week. And you can literally take whatever you learn from today and apply it for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and just see a difference. And, you know, we're just really, really happy that everybody's coming. And we want, you know, tell your friends, tell your family, because we want it to be like very, very welcoming. Doesn't matter what level you're on. Doesn't matter how much you learn, how much you pray. It's all about just picking up on more knowledge and more knowledge of just trusting in Hashem.
Yep. So I just want to say I'm really honored that Jonathan and David, I met them, Baruch Hashem, because Jonathan has been doing his thing in New York for about, I don't even know how long, but like was 4 or 5 years or how long you've been
doing? A year and a half.
He seems like he's been doing it a long time. So he has a really big Instagram presence, and now he's moved down to Florida, and I've been here my whole life, so I think it was a perfect meeting that now I can connect everyone down here to what his what he's trying to do. What he's trying to do is an amazing thing. It's not, like he said, like David said, it's not about your religious level with these classes. It's not, this is a Torah class, because obviously we're reading from really important books and pasuks that we have been handed down for 1,000 generations, but it's also practicality. It's also stuff that you will get and you will feel light and fire. We want you to come to these classes and feel a light and a fire from these classes, that when you leave here, you're going to be like, Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem, please Hashem, thank you Hashem. That's really all we want. Hashem needs to be in our lips constantly. If he's in our lips constantly, he's in our lives constantly. So we have to always thank him for whatever we have. So this Bitachon, it teaches you that whatever's happening in your life, whatever you're going through, it's from Hashem. You know, we might think it's bad at the moment, because we're finite people. We're living in this body, this finite world. We don't understand the infinite power of Hashem. He's one. So we have to understand that whatever's happening to us, it's for our best. And that's what these classes are teaching us. And Jonathan has been blessed by Hashem to be able to, you know, fuel Hashem when he's speaking. He will tell you the same way anyone else, you know, that has Bitachon will tell you. It's not him, it's Hashem. And that's how we always have to look at things. It's not us, it's Hashem. Everything that's happening around us, it's all messengers from Hashem. And I hope you guys get power from these classes. And I want you guys to bring someone. So, you know, I know some of us aren't here from here, but, you know, I'm glad that you guys came. And whenever you guys are in town, we're here every Monday, whenever you guys want. You know, we have the WhatsApp group. You guys could listen to the classes. But we want you to come in person and feel it, and bring a friend, and bring your family, and bring people around, because we want this room to grow. Right now we're starting small, but everything is steps. This is only the third class. We're hoping to obviously have classes every week. So
I just want to add one thing to that. Like, something big happened to me. My whole place was robbed. I was living in Houston, and I was here with him in Florida. And he remembers this very well. And I tell him, you know, I'm going to go back, get all my stuff, and I'm coming back. I open the door in my house in Houston. Everything's turned upside down, turned over. All my stuff is gone. They took my beds, everything. First thing I do, I call my dad. I'm like, look, like, I don't even know what to think. He tells me right away, he's like, it's a sign from Hashem. And, you know, this is something, this is a situation where, like, you came here and there's nothing there and you wanted to leave. And what is God telling you? He's telling you, it's almost as if he's telling you, I made it easier for you. You have nothing to take with you anymore. Just go.
And it was right before Yom Kippur.
And it was Parashat, right, by when? By Lech Lecha.
Wow.
And my father's explaining to me, he's telling me, like, you have nothing, but guess what? You have really everything. Because what do you have? You have yourself, you have your family, and now you go, you move on to better things. And what did you really have? You had physical stuff, like all that stuff you could get back again. You could get it back in a better and a higher quality stuff. you get the 4K television, you get the 8K television, you know? So, Baruch Hashem, you know, I was able to come here and it's not even in my head anymore. Now in my head, I'm like, it's like a fairy tale almost that it even happened, because all I can think about is like, I went, I left, you know, it happened and Hashem's still with me, you know? So
He's
I want everybody,
He's always, yeah. All of us.
I want everyone just, you know, whatever you're going through in life, I'm telling you, like, I was in shock. And my little kids are screaming, crying in the room, you know, while I'm calling the cops. My baby's literally running around with papers all over the floor and stuff all over the place. And I'm like, and I hear that from my dad. He's like, this is like, Hashem is like, this is the last thing, like, boom. And that's it. It's finished, you know, and that's it. Go and go with a smile. Go with faith, good faith. And God only wants the best for us, but sometimes He has to show us a little bit of a little patch, you know? But after that patch, everything is good. And
everything is always good. That's what we have to understand. Yeah. Everything is always for your benefit, no matter what. And so, on that, we'll let Jonathan start the class. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Wow. I have to reiterate, they give me a lot of credit. It's really all from Hashem. Every last bit of this class, of you guys coming, it's all, everything in life is from Hashem, and we're going to get more clarity on that very soon. Before we start, if anyone has a success or a fuash lema al nishma you want to mention, now's the time.
Ruben Ben Sfia.
For what?
He's having some issues with his stomach and
stuff. For fuash lema, yeah. What, anyone else? Names. Okay. This class should be for the success in learning in Israel of Ronit Orli Banurit. One second, where's the list? Learning and success of Israel of Ronit Orli Banurit for the Refuah Shlema of Oz Ben Michal, Rosette Bat Sulika, Ronen Ben Rachel, Elul Nishma Daniel, Mordechai Ben Regina, Shaul Aryeh Ben Simcha, and Ronen Ben Rachel. Okay. So guys, welcome to the class. Before we start the Shabbat B'tochan, I want to give a quick little intro to anyone who may have missed the other weeks or whatever it is. The book that we're going through is a very powerful sefer. Obviously, some of you guys have seen the videos that I do or the interviews going around, whatever it is. Any rabbi that I've met, from Gdol HaDor to community rabbi to local rabbi, they all say the same suggestion. If you're going to pick one book to glue yourself to for 10 minutes a day, or even 5 minutes, or even 1 minute, it's this one. This is specifically Shaar Bitachon from Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller was a rabbi who was located in Flatbush in Brooklyn. And many people that knew him personally said that he was the one holding up the 36 tzaddikim. He was a massive, massive tzaddik, massive Tamil Chacham, and was very focused on happiness, living with gratitude, and living with a constant connection to Hashem. And obviously Shaar Bitachon is the most important book to glue yourself to, because people can learn Torah, they can go through the routine, they can pray, etc. But this really gives a flavor to our lives, it gives a flavor to what we're doing, and it gives us meaning. Sometimes we have a hard time in our business life, or in our marriage, or in our personal life, etc. This really gives us a feeling of closeness to Hashem. A lot of closeness to Hashem, because sometimes you can call someone and they don't answer the phone, but like my chavruta told me today, to give him the schud, Judah, that when you're calling someone and you need to talk to them and they don't answer the phone, Hashem is telling you they're not answering the phone because you don't need to hear what they have to say. You have the tools within you to overcome this. When you're making a phone call in the business world, let's say you're trying to close a deal and sometimes the client won't answer for a day or two. Why is that happening? Because Hashem is saying now is not the right time for this deal to go through. And the same thing in Shiduchim, when you're trying to go out with someone, sometimes it's not the right time. Sometimes Hashem speaks through people and is talking to you directly. And if we pay attention to it and take our ego out of the picture and see that everything is truly happening from God, He's speaking to us on a constant day-to-day basis. And all He's really telling us is that He loves us and wants us to be close to Him and just to trust Him that He's running the show. And that's really the beauty of this book and what it gives us. I want to say a quick thing about Chanukah. Chanukah is a very special holiday to me because I was born on Parashah Baal Otcha, which talks about lighting the menorah. And obviously, on Shabbat Chanukah, you read my Bar Mitzvah Haftarah. So to me, it's a very special holiday because when I started to make videos and things, I saw in my own Bar Mitzvah Parashah, it's talking about lighting up the world. So it's like God showed me with my Parashah, you know, my purpose in life is to try to bring Chizuk to people. And of course, it's not me. I just try to be a channel for God to use me to do good things with. And obviously, like the two Davids said, we're just trying to do something good in the world. So Hanukkah is really an explosive time for prayer, and I can't stress this enough. I want everyone to really take advantage of this time period. Specifically, when you light the menorah for 30 minutes after, it's an explosive time for prayer. And the reason is as following. There's a machloket, an argument in the Gemara, that's between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. What's the proper way to light the menorah? Do you light from, which way is this? Do you light from 1 to 8 or from 8 to 1? So we go by Bet Hillel, because Bet Hillel, to those of you who may not know, he was humble. He was extremely humble. He used to bring wood in order to get into the Bet Midrash. At one time he climbed on top of the roof and he actually ended up almost freezing to death. And the rabbi said it was Shabbat, but they said they could save his life to bring him back, meaning to defrost him. And he Hillel's entire life was about humility, was about serving Hashem, was about doing whatever he can to get close to Hashem. And that's why we go by Hillel's opinion always. But really, when Mashiach comes, he's going to reveal that Bet Shammai was the right opinion, that the right way to light the Chanukah menorah is from 8 to 1. The reasoning is because in Shamayim, when they light the menorah with Hashem and the Malachim, they light it from 8 to 1. The reason for that is because 8 represents Ma'ala Teva. 8 is above nature. The meaning is as follows. Throughout the entire year, and we're going to say it a million times, it's not customary to ask Hashem for a miracle. We pray, we learn Torah, we try to work on our midot, on our character traits to be a better person. But specifically on Chanukah, it's the time to ask Hashem for a miracle when it's not the customary to do that the entire year. And this actually goes a lot farther than asking Hashem for a miracle. There's a way to keep the miracles coming on into our lives until next Chanukah. And the way to do that is through gratitude. By reciting Mizmor LeTodah, which is chapter Kuf, or 100 in Tehillim, 13 times, representing Ahava, representing love, showing Hashem that Hashem, I'm saying this Mizmor LeTodah, which is this psalm of gratitude to Hashem, because I'm grateful for you for whatever you do in my life. I recognize that when things look like they're going wrong, it's really happening for the best. And even when sometimes, like it says in Tehillim, Mima'amakim karaticha Hashem, from the depths I called out to you Hashem. Sometimes Hashem really pushes us to our limits, and I'm talking to myself. Sometimes there are challenges in life that are really extremely difficult and painful. And that is not in any way to not validate how someone's feeling. If you're feeling like you're going through a difficult time, that is okay, and that is what's meant to happen. The purpose of Hashem brings us sometimes to that depth is to find the gold. Because sometimes when Hashem pushes us to our limits, He's sucking the potential out of us and enabling us to receive what He wants to give us. Because Hashem is kula tov, He's all giving, He's all loving, He's all kind. Hashem wants to give us a lot of money, He wants to give us a great life, a lot of health, a lot of children, Bezrat Hashem. And to the singles in the room, He wants to give us our soulmate. He wants to do everything for us. But that starts with trusting that Hashem runs the world and I am not in the picture. And how it connects to Chanukah is that, again, Chanukah is the time to ask Hashem for a miracle. Anything in your life, whatever it is you want, whatever it is you feel like you need, talk to Hashem, use this time. You're not talking to a candle, you're not talking to a light that's burning, you're talking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're publicizing the miracle that Hashem saved us. And the same way that Hashem saves us, we say in the bracha, Bazeman HaZeh. It's current tense, meaning Hashem is saving us now. I'll read it to you. We say, Ba'al Nisim, on the miracles that Hashem did for us, Va'al Purkan, and on all the good things, Va'al Teshuot, and the salvations, Va'al Niflaot, and the wonders, Sha'asita, La'avotan, previous tense, you did it for our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, etc. You saved the Maccabees from the Greeks, and it happened the same thing on Purim. Hashem is constantly saving us from anyone who tries to harm us. Etc. And we finish the bracha by saying, in those days and at this time, meaning Hashem is here, Hashem is coming down. Hashem is coming down and saying, I'm here to help you and to save you and to grant you a miracle now. So whatever it is, nothing is too big or too small for Hashem. The only one that limits Hashem is myself. I'm not going to talk about anyone in this room. I limit God by thinking that He's not big enough to carry out my mission, my purpose, etc. But really, God can do anything. And the more that we take off the limits and the caps on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's to the limit, that's to the extent that He can carry out His mission. And that is the Chanukah intro. So we have another 48 hours left of this explosive, explosive, explosive time period. So I highly, highly suggest everyone to take advantage tomorrow night. Or even now, when you leave the class, you're in the car, you're going home, go on the balcony, a beautiful view, etc. Talk to Hashem, ask Him for a miracle, and believe that He can carry it out. Believe that Hashem could do anything. You want to buy a house? Say, Hashem, I want to buy a house this year. If it's meant to be, give it to me. Or rather, make the miracle that it should happen. A person wants to get married, Hashem, the zivug is in your hands. All I'm going to do is do my best. I'm going to be happy, etc. Work on myself, and Hashem, send it down. All we have to do is to work on ourselves and to grow our vessel, and B'rat Hashem, it's going to be big enough for Hashem to fill everything with it. We just have to believe in Hashem that He can do anything and that He is everything, and we're merely just carrying out His will. So we're going to continue a little bit from what we did last time, which is a little bit fun. And it says here, I want everyone to repeat after me. Hashem,
I
trust you, and I'm relying on you. This was not some type of a ceremony. even to come to this world one time and to say that, you already achieved your purpose in this life. Because even when you say it and you don't believe it, you're giving power for it to exist. If I say, Hashem, I trust you and I'm relying on you, but I don't really feel it inside of me, the more that I say it, I'm going to remind myself, but wait, I really do believe you deep down, because we all have a neshama yitera inside of us. We all have a piece of God inside of us, and we all really believe the truth. But sometimes society puts into our mind different ideas, and we think, well, in order to be rich, we have to do A, B, and C. In order to be happy, we have to buy this guy's course, and etc. In order to have a successful marriage life, we have to have tons of therapists. And I'm coming to tell you that it's not true. Hashem is the best therapist. Hashem is the best listener. Hashem is the best one to carry out everything that we need in our lives. And it's so important to say this and to... And it's not brainwashed. It's cleaning out everything we learned until now and starting fresh. And I want you guys to say one more thing. It's not a ceremony. Trust in Hashem. Say it again. I trust in Hashem. One more time. I trust in Hashem. You feel that? You feel a little better? Everyone's smiling. So obviously it's working. Even to say I trust in Hashem is already an accomplishment. As it says, I will say to Hashem, it says in Tehillim, Omar LaHashem Achsim Tzudati Elohai Eftach Bo, I will say to Hashem, He is my protection and my fortress. You guys have to understand something. We're not always going to feel and know these things. That's why the most famous Musar book of all time, Mesilat Yesharim, talking too fast, I'm excited, written by the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Kodavero, who wrote this book, Studying with Angels. There was a question asked about the Mesilat Yesharim. When a person reads all of the chapters of the Mesilat Yesharim, they're starting to see basic things in the book. It says you have to be zariz, you have to be fast, and you have to think before you speak, and you have to be careful with how you treat people. These are all basic fundamental principles. Why is the Ramchal, like, what is he making new in a sense? These are things that we know. That's because that we have to constantly remind ourselves and to say these things to ourselves, because when we say it, it's one thing to think it, but if you ever... You have to say it, because when you say it, you're etching, you're sewing these words and these psukim and these beliefs onto your soul. It's one thing to think to Hashem, but it's one thing to speak to Hashem. This morning, I started going to Netz a couple weeks ago, Baruch Hashem, thanks to a special person pushing me to go. And every morning after the Netz, Gedalia Fenster gives a class. And specifically this morning, he's like, I want to bring you to a field where I did Hidbo Redut. Now, I'm going to be very honest. I'm so skeptical of these things. I don't really believe in like going to a field and screaming to God. I believe in it, of course, but like specifically in the field, I believe that Hashem is everywhere. He brings me to this, after Netz, we go to this field, and it's about 5-10 minutes from the shul. And we come to the field, and Gedalia tells me, personal, happened this morning. I think it's nice to share personal things because it's more relatable. He tells me, Jonathan, after my divorce, after when I was opening my new business, obviously we all know he's an extremely successful person, blah, blah, blah. He told me all the battles in my life for the past 10 years, I'm fighting it in this field. And later I did research about the power of talking to Hashem in a field with grass and trees, etc. And I found out that when a person speaks in a place with grass and greenery and trees and etc., the power, it does work, because the grass is living, the trees are living, and it's Hashem's creations. And when the trees and the grass and Hashem's beauty of His world surrounding us, obviously if you're doing it in the middle of Manhattan, it's all man-made, it's different. When you do it by Hashem's creations, they hear your tefillot, and they actually ask Hashem to let the tefillot go through. So it's not heejee-beejee, that's what I thought it was, mistakenly. It actually is very powerful. And after Gedalia told me that, I spoke to Hashem there for an hour, and I plan to do it every day, and it's extremely, extremely powerful. He told me that it took him 6 months of talking to Hashem, personal prayer, he'd bought to do to see a miracle. And I'm telling you that it took me 3-4 years to actually get myself to open my mouth. And even recently, a couple of weeks ago, moving to Florida, etc., like, it took me a very long time to open my mouth and to talk to God. And then you guys may think, well, you're preaching, etc. Whatever I'm telling you is for me. I'm no better than anybody in this room, and I need the chizuk probably more than anybody. So when I say that it took me a long time, I'm being honest. It took me a long time to open my mouth and to believe that God's actually listening, because many times when I would speak, I would think to myself, like, well, Hashem, you really care about me? You have a million other things to do. But it's the biggest mistake. And when I do speak to Hashem and open up my heart to Him and cry to Him and tell Him about what I'm going through and growing through, rather, and what I need, and that He's there for me, I feel like this immense weight taken off my chest, because instead of talking to a person who doesn't have the full ability to carry out what you need, rather it just weighs down on them. You're talking to the Creator who gave you this problem because He wants to hear your voice. And it's a very powerful line for me. It makes me emotional. Hashem wants to hear all of our voices. He wants to hear us speak. That's why it says later in the Shaar Bitachon, Pachat Pachati Vaye Tayeni. Hashem, you gave us these fear, you gave us these problems, you gave us these anxieties and stresses, etc., because you want to hear our voice. You want us to talk to you. And many times in my life, I've seen when I uplifted the problem to faith and when I gave it to Hashem, by the way, faith stands for forward all issues to Hashem. It's the blueprint. When you give the problem to Hashem, you right away, sometimes for me, the problem went away. It was almost like Hashem just like, I'm gonna kick you, I'm gonna smack you around a little bit, I'm gonna make this not work out and this work out, etc. I'm gonna bother Jonathan, and I just want to hear his voice. And the second I talk, everything opens up. So I really want everyone to go home with, even if it's hard to pray, whether it's putting tefillin or for the girls, tehillim, whatever it is, try to talk to Hashem with your personal prayers. Because as it says, one prayer with a broken heart is equal to 1,000 without one. And it says in Tehillim, in chapter 51, Nun Aleph, Lev nishba v'nitzkeh Elohim lo tivzeh. A broken heart that was pushed to the side by society. I don't know, you're not good looking enough, you're not rich enough, you're not smart enough, etc. People told you many negative things and you were pushed aside and you feel like some, as they say, hazit, or like not good enough. Hashem says, Elohim lo tivzeh. God doesn't make out of you a bizayon. God doesn't make out of you that you're not worth it, etc. The opposite. God is encouraging you to speak to Him in those moments, because that is exactly the purpose of why it's happening to you. At the moment when you think that you're nothing and you're small, it's actually Hashem showing you that the people that pushed you and pushed you to the side, etc., and made you feel bad, those people are small and you're great. And that's why I want you to speak to me, because I want you to be closer to me. Karov Hashem nishber alev. Hashem is closer to the people with a broken heart. And the purpose of a broken heart is to put it together. There's a lie in society that when you put together a glass that was broken, you're still going to see the cracks through it. I'm telling you that Hashem can not only fix the cracks and make it like you're going to see a brand new plate, He can completely take your heart and He can give you a brand new one. You just have to believe that He can do it. And now we're going to go forward. Hashem is speaking about the sincere belief and conviction that Hashem is the only one who helps. But we have to know that we don't arrive at that so quickly. It takes work to get to that level. And that's what I'm going to tell you guys constantly. This is constant work. It's hard work. Not in a way to demotivate you. It's in a sense that every day we wake up with a new soul, with a new purpose for that day, and we have to put in the work. We have to start our day with thanking Hashem for our life, with speaking to Him, etc., bringing Him down into our life and having a constant relationship with Him. Everywhere we go, we're driving to the grocery store, we're doing laundry, always talk to Hashem and think about good things to say to Him. And an advice I'll give you from my mentors, if you have a specific challenge in your life that's really hard for you right now, think of 10 ways why this could be good for me right now. Try to think for a second, how is this actually Hashem running His world? And how I have nothing to do with that. And all I have to do is to be happy, because simcha poretz et gedarim, the simcha breaks all the gates. You know, it says, the gates of the tears are never going to be locked. Meaning tears opens the gates. But happiness completely destroys the gates. So it's so important for us to be happy. And like we said in the first class, happiness equals peace of mind. How do you achieve peace of mind? By having bitachon in your heart and emunah in your mind, knowing constantly that Hashem is running the world. And all I have to do is go about my mundane things. I go to work, I exercise, I go to shul, I take care of what I have to do, and I do that with a smile. I work slowly, slowly towards my goals. I don't give up on myself. Every day I believe in myself, and I make the best of every single day. Chas v'shalom to ever take one day for granted. God forbid to ever take a person in your life for granted. All we have to do is to work on ourselves and to thank Hashem and to be one with Him, and then we're going to be happy. It's very simple. Simple but complicated. So first we have to say the words. We have to say, Hashem, my trust is in you. And that's why we say Hashem is the only one. We say to him, outside of you, there is nothing. And there is actually nothing besides for Hashem in this world. As the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And I'm not relying on the government or my relatives to support me. I'm not relying on my college degrees or my property. I'm relying only on you, Hashem. Something funny just happened. I was talking about this a second ago, and now we're seeing it inside, which happened last week and the week before. Whenever we speak about something and we see it inside a minute later, it's a sign from Hashem that we're on the right track. So, round of applause to everyone. Now, it's easy to say, but not so easy to feel. However, if a person keeps on saying it long enough and thinking what the words mean, it begins to sink in. That's how you have to work on it. First, you have to say the words of bitachon. That's why davening with kavanah, awareness of intent, is so important. Although right now you're very far away from the real fulfillment of what you're saying, nevertheless, little by little, you transform yourself by saying words of bitachon. We literally just said this a second ago. When you say these words of bitachon in your own words, the most powerful words, yes, the Sidur is amazing, composed by Knesset Agdolah, etc. And I'm not discouraging anyone to pray. As a matter of fact, you should get a Sidur where you have the English words on the bottom, like this one, or on the side, because you can actually know what you're saying. Or if you speak Spanish, get it in Spanish. But more powerful than the Sidur is to speak in our own words. Hashem wants us to tell Him exactly what's going on with our lives and to build a relationship with Him. Right? As we say, in heaven above and on the earth below, there is none other. Everything we see in the world is only imagination. It's only Hashem's word that we are seeing. As we say, there is nothing but Hashem. There is nothing but Him. If you keep on saying it long enough, it gradually becomes part of your personality. You change as a person. People start to recognize that you changed. But it's not easy. It's not so easy. And that you have to know beforehand. V'amar, as it says, V'yamiru et kevodam v'tochnit shor ochel es eshev. When they made the golden calf, they exchanged their glory for the likeness of an ox that eats grass. Hashem was their glory, and they gave Him up for an ox. Now an ox has to eat grass. It is such a miserable creature that it can't get along without the grass. Otherwise, it will die of starvation. So in whom did they put their trust? In the golden calf. And that is saying that we put our trust in physical things throughout our entire life. We put our trust in the stock market, who's going to win the presidential election, the crypto, etc. These are all just means to give. This is all just a vessel to give us what's coming to us. But it's not actually where the blessing and all the salvation is coming from. That's coming from Hashem. And it's a mistake to put our trust in anything that's not Hashem. V'amar katuv, as it says, Baruch hagever sheiftach b'Hashem. Blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem. If this is you, if you learn to trust in Hashem, you're indeed a fortunate man. Why? The text continues, V'ayah Hashem iftacho. If you trust in Hashem, Hashem will be your trust. Meaning, if you trust in Hashem and you come for the deal, Hashem's your cosigner. Hashem's your cosigner by your deal, by your marriage, by your health, by your security, by everything that you need. You need health insurance? Hashem is going to be there to make sure you're going to be healthy. Anything a person needs in their life, anything a person is going through, trust that Hashem is going to be there to carry out your will. To the degree that you learn to trust in Hashem, in that same proportion, Hashem is going to fulfill your trust and reward you and carry out the things that you would like Him to do for you. That was a condition. To the extent that we trust Hashem and let Him into our lives, that's to the extent that He will be there. It's a very hard thing to let go of control, and I'm speaking to myself. But to the extent that we let go of the control and tell ourselves, Hashem, it's you and I'm going to work on it. It's a process. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of speaking to yourself and speaking to Hashem and undoing all the things that you have in your mind now and putting in the new information and the new DNA of Hashem. And teaching ourselves that we came to this world to learn these teachings, to engrave them onto our souls and to live happy, fulfilling, meaningful lives. I think everyone in this room is already past the age of inspiration. We know what we have to do. What we're really searching for, especially now with what's going on in the world, is fulfillment, to feel close to God, to have purpose in our lives, to not just be robotic or to be in the habit of things, to feel happiness at every single moment. And that is what bitachon gives you. It gives you happiness and joy and love and etc. at every single moment. Before we continue, I want to read to you guys, I was reading this book over Shabbat, Three Words of Emunah by Rabbi Lazar Brody. And when I was reading this, I saw something that I have to share with the class. It's very interesting. It's basically a conversation between Emunah and despair. Like Emunah goes to the postal office and meets despair there, and they have a conversation. So I'm going to read it to you guys because this is amazing. So Emunah comes into the post office while he's waiting in line, and he sees despair. And despair was mailing off a stack of protest letters against the government while Emunah was waiting to mail off a few hundred copies of Faith Under Fire. pamphlets to the American soldiers in Afghanistan to keep their spirits high. And this is how their conversation went. And Murad comes in with a big smile and says, Shalom, Despair. How are you feeling? And Despair says, don't ask. We've been sold down the river by our own leaders, meaning Biden, Harris, whatever. Good people are now considered criminals, while criminals get elected to office. Nothing's going right. All the politicians care about is their seats in parliament and whatever they can milk the government for. Nobody cares about poor or elderly people anymore. It's all over. We're all numbers, invisible, with no future. Pretty soon, no more anything. Sound familiar? Yeah. And Munah says, stop talking like that, silly. Hashem runs the world, not the politicians. Despair says, I don't want to hear about Hashem. He's forgotten us completely. Sound familiar? And Munah says, Hashem doesn't forget an amoeba, meaning a very small particle, much less a human. Hashem loves each and every one of his creations. If Hashem worries about the needs of every little worm and mosquito, he certainly concerns himself with the plight of his beloved children wherever they are. Despair says, come on then, what's Hashem doing about anti-Semitism all over the world? What's he doing about the government, the corruption, the scandals, the Haredi bashing in the media, and the police brutality? Hi, Munah, you got an answer? Can't you see Hashem doesn't care about us anymore? And Munah says, the first tenet of our faith is that Hashem is the creator and ruler of the world. Who alone does, and will do every action. Hayao veveyeh. All those things that you're upset about are nothing but scalpels in Hashem's loving hands and all for our ultimate good. Sometimes the doctor has to make an incision in the patient's flesh to save the patient's life. But that certainly doesn't mean that the doctor doesn't care about the patient, because sometimes it hurts a little bit in order to carry out the ultimate purpose. On the contrary, the doctor is the epitome of compassion. He deals in healing people. Despair says, Hashem's not interested in healing us. I haven't seen him make any house calls lately. And Munah says, that's because you don't open up your eyes. He's massaging your heart and operating your brain this very second. He's even creating the microorganisms that are helping digest the food in your belly this very minute, or the donut. Hashem's not only interested in helping and healing each and every one of us. He created us in order to bestow his compassion and loving kindness on us. What looks to you like an impending disaster will turn out to be the redemption of our people. Pittsburgh, Jersey City, Muncie, and the rockets from Gaza are only very small parts in the big puzzle that's designed to prepare us for a life of bliss with Mashiach and our holy temple. Amen. Before every birth comes excruciating labor pains. We must therefore pray that Hashem gives us the strength and wisdom to hang on to our faith no matter what. By the way, before we continue, I think it's very important to note that if anyone's going through a struggle in their life, it's actually a very good sign. If Hashem, in a way, didn't care about us, if our God didn't care about us, he would give us everything we need, because then there would be no reason to talk to him anymore. He'll say, okay, here's the shidduch, here's the money, here's the health, here's the children, here's the family. Take everything, but I don't want to hear your voice. As long as life is hard, as long as it's difficult, as long as things are not going our way, as long as we still have goals that we want to accomplish, we still have aspirations we want to achieve, we still feel that passion, that purpose, that drive, that fire, it's a very good sign. And it's such a mistake to ever get into our head about a mistake we did in the past, or if we weren't a certain way, or if we maybe got misled for a certain period of time. Do you know what's the stamp of approval that Hashem believes in you and loves you? The fact that you're breathing, the fact that you're here, the fact that you're alive. As long as we're alive, even if we can be completely not connected, not thinking about God, it doesn't matter. Are you breathing? Are you alive? Even to the most insane people in the world today, on the left, etc., they're also breathing too. So yes, Hashem believes in them too. It doesn't believe in us. Hashem, the stamp of approval that we have a chance to live the best life possible, Olam Haba, in this world and the next, is the fact that we're breathing and the fact that we have a chance to not be the victim, to take everything inside of us, to uplift it to God, and to be happy starting now. It's work. It sounds simple. And it's possible. We just have to believe in ourselves. And the more that we gain confidence that Hashem is there, that will give us self-confidence. And the more that we work on it, our life's going to start to get a lot better. So Despair replies, I've neither desire nor strength to believe in anything. I'm burnt out. Besides, I don't know how to believe. It seems so ridiculous and antiquated and illogical. And Munah says, what is logical in your opinion? Stress, heart attacks, ulcers, anxiety, and living on pills? Give En Omilvador a try. You have nothing to lose but your pessimism and bad moods. Focus on Hashem and talk to Him. Find some quiet place and begin talking to Hashem like you were a loving parent. Ask Him to give you faith. I approve this message. Ask Him to give you faith. Plan to see and feel Him in everything you do and everything that goes on around you. Ask Him to teach you to pray. Ask Hashem to teach you to pray. It's brilliant. And to put the right words in your mouth. Sometimes we talk to Hashem, we're like, Hashem, I don't know what to say right now. That's a start. You'll accomplish a lot more talking to Hashem than you will passing out your protest leaflets. Give it a try. Hashem's waiting for you. Despair sneaks a peek at the pamphlets in the Muda shopping bag. He looks over and he says, "Hey, what are those pamphlets?" He's starting to come around. The pictures of the sunsets and the animals are really eye-catching. And Muna says, "These are the teachings of Eno Milvado, now available in English. They've done wonders for prison inmates, soldiers, and hotspots around the world, and regular housewives too. They're really soothing for the soul, and they help you to get to know God and to feel His divine mercy and blessings in every phase of your life." Despair says, "Can I have one of those?" Emuna says, "My pleasure. It'll open up a new life for you." And the postal clerk says to Emuna, "It's your turn, sir." Despair says, out the door, waving behind him while throwing the packet of protest letters in a nearby waste can while he wasn't looking. He threw out all the protest stuff that he was about to ship out. He said, "I'll see you later, Emuna. I'm going to give this a try." Emuna says, he waves back at Despair, what a name, and says, "God bless my brother." God bless you, my brother. Turning to the postal clerk, "Can you give me a bulk airmail rate for 500 pamphlets to the U.S. forces in Afghanistan? By the way, sir, did you ever see an Emunah booklet?" And he gives them one to the postal clerk. "Read this pamphlet 3 times and you'll see big miracles in your life." The postal clerk says, "How did you know that I need big miracles?" Emunah says, "Our Father in Heaven knows. You work for the post office, but I'm a mailman too. Consider this pamphlet a personal postcard for you from Hashem. He'd love to hear back from you." Which reminds me of another point. Everything that everyone says to us on our day-to-day basis, whether it's from someone very close or very far or some random stranger on the street, Hashem is talking to us. He's communicating with us at every single moment. And speaking to myself, the purpose of difficult people is to give them compassion, to give them love, to give them mercy, to forgive them. Because it's merely Hashem trying to give us an opportunity. Because the moment that we forgive someone who hurt us or did hard things to us, etc., Midah kineged midah, which is one of the divine rules of how God runs the world, measure for measure. When we forgive that person that hurt us, and when we give them compassion and on the contrary, love, very hard thing to do, speaking to myself, we are now allowing Hashem measure for measure and Shamayim up above to give us Rachmanut and to give us the same exact thing measure for measure. So really, everything in our life is all an opportunity for growth, and everything that we perceive as bad is actually good in disguise. As it says here, "All other religions are false because they replace the truth with something false in which to trust. They call upon a man to pray to gods that are empty and useless, like the arrogant Egyptians of old. There are others who don't try to persuade you to worship idols, but instead encourage you to pay attention to physical factors. They try to convince you that if you do certain things, you're going to succeed. Although it's a mitzvah to try all sorts of things to help yourself succeed, you shouldn't put your trust in them at all. It's a mitzvah to take care of your health. It's a mitzvah to work energetically. It's a mitzvah to try to make a living. But these things cannot replace your trust in Hashem, because there's really nothing but Hashem in this world." So now we're going to go through three different types of trust that people put their trust in, meaning three different outlets, and we're going to go through one by one why this is not a strong enough vessel or a strong enough receiver of our issues and worries and etc. Why it's only Hashem. So the first one is trusting in people. And Vamar, it says, Varu ar geve asher yiftach ba'adam. And it says, "A curse is the man who trusts in human beings. Vesam basar zero. And he makes people who are nothing but flesh and blood his strength. Umin Hashem yasur libo. While his heart turns away from Hashem. A man should know that his help does not come from human beings, but from Hashem. After all, what is a human being? As soon as he dies, his body begins to disintegrate, and soon it's not there anymore. Just because a human being happens to be rich and makes promises doesn't mean that he will be able to carry them out or will even want to carry them out. When you need him, he says, 'I don't know you.' So it doesn't pay to trust in people. Worse still, Hashem says, 'You're accursed if you trust in them.' No matter how good human beings may be, even if they are tzaddikim, righteous people, and they are really honest in their intentions to help you, even if they're your best friends, don't rely on them." Now, this is not saying not to have friends and not to speak to people and to vent, etc. It's very good to have a good mentor, a good rabbi, a good friend, etc. But it's saying don't depend on them completely. It's good to have that, but don't make that the source of that's where it's going to come from and that's my salvation, because it's not. Be friendly to them, be grateful to them and for them, but you should know that your help does not come from any human being. A person who does so is the curse, because in so doing he is denying his dependence on Hashem. So you say, "I'm not turning away from Hashem, I still believe in Hashem, only I'm also believing in this fine man who befriended me. I can see that he is honest and sincere." You're wrong. You cannot trust even in the biggest tzaddik. Even Avraham Avinu gave you promises. Don't trust him. You should be grateful to him and love him for what he wants to do for you. But he really can't do anything. Only Hashem can help you. That's trusting in people. Any questions so far? Okay, Baruch Hashem. Next one is trusting in wisdom, meaning our own intellect. If somebody relies on his own wisdom, his skill in devising stratagems for success, and etc., the koch gufo, his physical strength, vehishtadiluto, and his energetic efforts to carry out his plans, yigalarik, he will toil in vain, meaning endlessly, 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 because he's trusting in the wrong thing. Right, it says you shouldn't trust in kochi ve'otzem yadi. You shouldn't trust in yourself and the might of your fist. We can only trust in Hashem. Ve'chalash kocho, even his strength will weaken. Ve'tiktzar tachbulato, and his stratagems will fall short. Ma'asik chefzo, of achieving his desired goal. All the work he puts in will be for nothing. Now, if young people hear this, it will seem to them as just words. But if you investigate the history of even the greatest and most successful people in the business world, it's remarkable to see how many of the world's magnates ended up in the poorhouse. So many who were on the top rung of the ladder of success ended up insolvent, not able to pay their debts. It's a remarkable statistic, but nobody talks about it. All we hear about is how they achieved success. What eventually happened to them is never mentioned. Kemor shamar katuv, as it says in the pasuk, loved kachamim be'ormam. He traps wise men in their own cunning. They are undone by the clever tricks and schemes that they thought would make them wealthy. Of course, everybody knows what happened in the stock market more than once. There were wise guys who thought they would make tremendous money in the market, but in the end, they just lost fortunes. If they had put their money in the bank and just waited for it to slowly and gradually accumulate, they would have had a fortune today. But they put all their money and trust in stocks, and with one crash, they were wiped out completely. And I'm sure everybody in this room knows someone that this happened to. I'm not saying that you shouldn't invest in the stock market at all, but you shouldn't put your trust in it. You have to believe in Hashem. He's the only one who will give you success. You know, there's a person who lives in Yerushalayim. I don't know him personally, but I heard of the story of him, who has immense trust in Hashem. As we all know, in Rosh Hashanah, Hashem writes down what you're going to make for the next upcoming year, right? So there's a person who lives in Yerushalayim, and every single year, this is amazing, every single year, right after Yom Kippur, he opens up, let's say, Robinhood or the stock market. He randomly swipes through, and he pauses, and he picks a stock. He puts all the money that he made the past year into the stock, closes his eyes, doesn't do research, doesn't do nothing. He buys it with everything he has, and then he doesn't work the entire year. And somehow, some way, every single Rosh Hashanah, his net is going up and he's making money. I'm not saying to do this. Do not take this advice home, because we're all going to go broke. But it just goes to show, if you really have bitachon in Hashem and you really believe where the money is coming from. By the way, we're going to see in later chapters that it's not recommended to get jobs that are going to tire us and make us stressed and etc. Hashem wants us to, even when we work, meaning going through the motions of the day and driving here, doing that, this phone call, A, it's not us doing it. It's we're doing it to keep busy and to stay away from, obviously, foolish things and etc. And B, the whole purpose of it is for Hashem to test us and to see, are we on team Hashem, that we trust Him, or are we on team, it's me again? The most dangerous thing. So you see in this story that if
How do you invest your money with, like, still trusting Hashem?
Very simple. Do your research. Do your homework. Obviously, do the hishtadlut that a person is expected to do. Don't worry. Don't overstress. Don't overfixate. And say, Hashem, I did my part. I spoke to a couple of people, let's say in the finance world, or people on Wall Street, or friends that know this specific thing. And it seems to me now that what you're putting in front of me is to invest in this stock. So I'm going to invest a proper amount, not everything, and I'm going to see how it goes. Everything we have to do, all decisions we make, especially in business, that has to be very carefully done, with Hashem guiding us throughout the way. And to speak to Him and to say, I did my part, this is what it looks like the right thing to do, and I'm going to invest. If I make, I make. If I lose, that's up to you. Obviously, I can make here, lose there, make it back there later. It's all the same way the stock market goes up and down. It's the same way. It's Hashem. Hashem takes here, He gives there. That's why the best advice I heard when it comes to business and when it comes to money in general is to give. Because the more that you give, when you make, rather, meaning, like, we all know, it's the one mitzvah in the Torah where Hashem says, test me on this. He doesn't say, test me to keep Shabbat. He doesn't say, test me to put filin, whatever. He says, test me with maaser. If you test me with the 10%, I'll make you rich. So it's actually a skula to give 20%. More than that is already extreme trust in Hashem. But to the extent that we trust in God, and to the extent that we show Him that we make a lot of money, we're not going to keep it to ourselves. You have to understand how it works by God. Let's say you have Reuven and Shimon, right? Now Hashem has $200 to distribute. He gives Reuven 100 and he gives Shimon 100. God is very fair, honest, logical. It makes perfect sense. Reuven takes 70 of it and uses it for what he needs to do. The other 20 he takes to buy alcohol and cigarettes, and $10 he gives to charity. And on the other end, Shimon, he takes $20 of it, gives it to charity, and the other 80 he uses for what he needs. So Hashem sees that Reuven used 10 or 20, whatever we said, to go and to waste on alcohol and cigarettes, and Shimon used the other 10 or 20 to actually give more money to charity. So now next time when Hashem has 200, he'll give Reuven 80 and he'll give Shimon 120. And that's basically the system of how the world operates. When it comes to money and when it comes to zivugim, marriages and everything, it's all a relationship. And to the extent that we're able to fulfill this relationship and to do the right thing by our Creator, we're showing Him that He can trust us to give us more. Because Hashem is not going to make us win the lottery overnight, because if you look online, etc., you'll see many of the lottery winners, they end up losing all their money right away because they don't know how to handle it. When it comes to Hashem, if He loves you, of course, which He does, no question in my mind, He's going to give it to you slowly. Hashem wants you to get here, but in order to get there, it's one step at a time. Like for me, let's say, right? I started a year and a half ago with a phone and a dream. Now Hashem gave me a studio. Maybe next Hashem will give me a building. Who knows? But it's slow. Because I know that if Hashem gives me a lot, I'm going to crash. I'm not able to handle it. I can barely manage this room. You see this hole in the ceiling? I can barely take care of that. But slowly, slowly, the more that Hashem gives me and I show Him, okay, Hashem, I can handle it now. I'm gonna learn more Torah. I'm going to talk to you more. I'm going to bring you more into my life because I want to receive more. Now Hashem's like, okay, Jonathan, I'm going to give you more. And that's basically how it works. Answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you.
Hashem, not me. Any other questions before we continue? Awesome. That's, by the way, why I wanted to do the classes in this room, because it's like, you know, it's in your face. So if you do invest in something, do it with the thought that it's up. You see? It's right what I'm saying. This is, Hashem loves you. So if you do invest in something, do it with the thought that it's up to Hashem and to nothing else. Don't rely on the chances of accidental events that might happen to favor you, which is what I think all the time when I invest. I'm like, oh, what if I put it in here and it explodes? No. No, keep in mind that Hashem is in control. Hashem is in control, and Hashem is in control, and in control, and in control, and in control. And He's the only one who can help you. Now, He speaks of those who remove their trust from Hashem and put their confidence in their own abilities or in other things. Va'amar, it says in Kohelet, which was written by Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest man to ever live. And it says, Shafti v'ra'o tachat ha-shemesh. I return, spend more time to see what is happening under the sun, meaning what's going on in the world, right? This is what Shlomo says, the wisest man to ever live. Ki lo la kalis ha-merotz. I saw, this is a powerful, powerful line. I love this. I saw that the race does not go to the swift, v'lo la giburim ha-milchama, and the battle does not go to the mighty. V'gam lo la chachamim lechem, nor does bread go to the wise. Not all wise men have enough food to eat. In spite of what many people think, success in life does not come about as a result of their abilities. So why is it that the weak don't generally win wars and fools are usually unsuccessful? It is because Hashem doesn't want to make this world a world of miracles. He wants the world to seem as if it's subject to simple cause and effect. Otherwise, our free will would have little meaning. Once in a while, we see very capable people who are failures. We see mighty men who lose the battle. These instances are given to us to open our eyes and give us the opportunity to understand that even in those cases where the mighty men do win battles, it is because of Hashem, who only wants to keep His role hidden. But there are so many cases of mighty men who perished early and so many cases of capable men who were reduced to poverty that we should surely realize that Hashem is behind the scenes. Simple cause and effect won't allow so many exceptions. And the fact that there are so many exceptions should open our eyes to see the truth. V'amar, like says in Tehillim, Kefirim rashu v'ra'evu. Even the young lions that are full of energy became poor and hungry. V'dorshe Hashem lo yachzeru kol tov. But those who seek the help of Hashem will not lack any good thing. This teaches us that if you rely on Hashem, He will reward you by giving you exactly what you need to the finest detail. Before we go further, are there any questions? No? Yeah? No? Okay. The last one is trusting in wealth, and we're going to do this quickly, and then I want to open up to questions or conversational points, whatever it is, if anyone wants to clarify something that we spoke about. So the last point is trusting in wealth, meaning trusting in money. Before I say this, I want to say that you can trust in money, you can trust in occupation, and you can trust in people. So now we're going to talk about the money. If a person relies on the abundance of his wealth, it may be taken away from him, God forbid. And left to someone else. As it says, a wealthy man may lie down to sleep at night, but he doesn't continue in his wealth in the morning. He opens his eyes and it's all gone. How many times do we see people that were so humble and so diligent, etc., and the second that God rises them up, they become full of themselves? That's why I was telling you that when Hashem gives you, do not get haughty, do not get full of yourself. The opposite. We might think that, oh, I'm getting a little excited now, I got a raise. It's, no. Stay humble, stay simple, because in a second it could be taken away. And the only way to continue to elevating is to continue recognizing that we have to keep ourselves down, to relax, and not to get too jumpy, etc., because it's all from Hashem, and we have to, it's a responsibility. Money is a responsibility, a spouse is a responsibility. All the gifts that Hashem gives us is a responsibility that we have to use to carry out our life purpose, our life mission, etc. Even for me, by the way, you know, to have a bunch of followers online, it's a responsibility. And I hate social media, but all the blessings that Hashem gives you, I happen to think it's not a blessing, but all the things that Hashem gives you in your life in order to, it's meant and it should be used to glorify His name and to make His name great and to publicize God and to show the world that Hashem is great. That's the whole reason of why I do what I do, because I want to publicize God's name and to spread a good message. The same social media people use to post God knows what, as we see, man-made things, ideas, controversy, negativity, I decided I want to use social media to spread a positive message. But even with that is a responsibility, because the same way you can post a story and 10,000 people could see it, you could use it for whatever you want. So even with that, you have to be very careful with all the blessings that God gives you, because in a second it can go away. In a second I can post a video and nobody will watch it. In a second someone could start to invest in things and everything he touches turns to garbage. In a second, it's very scary. Nothing is ours. Nothing is ours. Even when we think, oh, she's married to me, she's mine. I'm friends with someone who works in the Beit Din. He says that the divorce courts are packed and people want to get out of their marriages. So even when we think it's ours, it's not. We have to be very humble and to be very grateful for what we have. And through that, we're going to find happiness and joy. Is that clear for everyone? Okay. Perhaps the stock market crashed and his investments turn out to be a failure. This happens often. Men who are at the top of the list of society's wealthy fall to the bottom and then are forgotten. But it's the weakness of mankind that people don't focus on these cases. They forget about that. They forget about them right away because they're only looking at what is immediately available to their eyes. Right now they see a successful man, and when it happens that this man is finally ruined, it doesn't make much of an impression. People are just not thinking about that anymore. And so we see that mankind wants to be deceived. And it says, Al tigal le'ashir, don't exhaust yourself with hard work to become rich. Desist from this of your own understanding. And of course, you have to work to earn a living, and you should even be industrious. It says in a number of places in Mishle that if you neglect your business, you're considered lazy and you will be reduced to poverty. But if you exert yourself beyond the norm to get wealth, then you should know that you are not acting rationally. We have seen so many cases where people have failed and their hard work was wasted. If you trust in Hashem and do what's necessary, then Hashem will reward your effort with success. And if you think that your success is only due to your efforts, then you're bound not to succeed. I'm going to say that again. We've seen so many times where cases where people have failed and their hard work was wasted. God forbid. If you trust in Hashem and do what's necessary, then Hashem will reward your effort with success. And success is not always monetary. Success can mean that you're healthy. Success can mean a beautiful spouse. Success can mean happy, healthy children running around. Success is not always financial. But if you think that your success is only due to your efforts, then you're bound not to succeed. V'amar, as it says, Ataif enecha bo ve'enenu. And it says, if you blink your eye on wealth, it's gone. That's why kesef in Hebrew in the Gemara is referred to as zuzim, meaning it's always running from one person to the next and back. It's never really ours. All your wealth can disappear in a flash. Take the following example. John F. Kennedy was a very wealthy man who married a wealthy woman. He had everything. He was even elected president. Suddenly, one small bullet came and he lost everything. By the way, how many people started to believe in God after they saw the Trump assassination attempt? Literal miracle how he wasn't you have a question that Hashem exists. It was a public miracle. I would say it was like a Har Sinai. It was incredible. He no longer had that wealthy wife, and he no longer owned all that property. A dead man doesn't own any property. He no longer was the president. In a flash, he lost everything. Question? No? Oh, sorry. V'amar, and it says, "Bachatzi yamav yazvenu v'acharito yeh naval." In the middle of his life, all his successes will forsake him, and in his end, he will be an unimportant person. Even before he has the chance to enjoy his success, it will forsake him. And how many people have money but can't even enjoy it? How many people have millions of dollars and can't enjoy it? They have successful businesses, everything is going for them, but they're worried nonstop, and they're sick, and there's no peace of mind. That's why without bitachon, we really have nothing. I know a person who lives in Brooklyn who all he owns to his name, no joke, doesn't have an ID, doesn't have a passport, doesn't have a social security. The only thing he owns is a flip phone, and he has a bunch of bananas that he eats, and he's in his 60s. He runs 20, 30 miles a day, and all day, shiurim and Hashem. I know a person like this who has nothing, but if you ask him, he has everything. Everything, everything, everything. So we see that it's all in our perspective. Or else he'll be denied the pleasure of his success. Does anybody want to ask any questions or say something at this point? Or do we continue? Everyone's okay? No? Okay. When the Roman general Titus conquered Yerushalayim, he was so pleased with his victory that he burned down the Beit HaMikdash. On his way home, he had triumph after triumph in each city that he visited, but then he became sick. A parasite entered his brain and he was tormented day and night. Even though he tried to act like a conqueror, the tortures that he was enduring inside his head ruined all of his joy. This explains why the Roman writers say of Titus that although he was a cruel person in his younger years and was so difficult to deal with, in his later years, he became very mild-mannered and benevolent. The writers don't give a reason for this change in personality, but the Gemara in Masechet Gittin points to the explanation. It was because in his later years, he had become a man of suffering. When his father died and passed onto him the role of emperor, Titus could not enjoy his moment of glory. The parasite continued to gnaw away at his brain and Titus became subdued. The Roman people didn't know that. They just said that he changed and became a more kindly man. Titus demonstrates how a person can be outwardly successful and yet unable to enjoy his success. I want to make a comment on this. Titus was a Roman emperor who was the one that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. And Titus, he thought he was almighty and Vura and etc. And from Titus, we learn a very, very amazing, amazing principle in Judaism. Titus, obviously, he brought the woman into the Kodesh Kodashim. He made a sin with her in front of God to show, like, Hashem, I'm everything. And like it said, that Hashem put a mosquito into Titus's brain because as big as he thought that he was, a little mosquito, he brought all the doctors in the world to help, etc., and nothing was able to help him. Interestingly enough, I happened to learn this Gemara, so I Baruch Hashem, I know it. But it says in this Gemara that a very important life lesson. Titus's grandson, no, Titus's nephew was Unculus. If you open up any Chumash, you're going to see Rashi and Unculus. Unculus is one of the most famous commentaries of all time. Unculus was a convert. He converted to Judaism. And before Unculus converted to Judaism, and the way they were able to do it back then, he brought down the soul of Titus who passed away, and he asked him, my uncle, etc., I'm about to convert to Judaism. Is this the right religion to convert to? Is this the truth? And in a shocking way, Titus actually said, no, it's not. Stay far away from it. It's lies, hypocrisy, etc. So there's a question in that Rashi. How is it possible that when Titus passed away and he's in the world of the truth, how is it possible that he's telling his nephew, Unculus, basically the complete opposite? He passed away. He's in the world. He's in the Lama Emet. And he still doesn't see the truth yet. We learn from this an amazing and also a scary thing. The midot that we have, the character traits that we have, the only way to fix them is in this world. So if a person passes away with stinginess, it follows them. If a person passes away with anger, it follows them. If a person doesn't forgive people in this world, it follows them forever. That's why we come to this world, because this world is Olam HaAsiyah. It's the world of fixing. It's the world of rectification. And we have the opportunity at every moment in our life and in our day to fix and to rectify and to become pure and to become whole and to become a happy person. And really, it's not just a happy person, but it's to be a happy soul, to be a soul that loves Hashem and that's close to Him. And that's why we learned from this. Obviously, of course, Unkulus knew the truth, and he decided to follow through and to convert to Judaism, and he became one of the most famous commentaries of all time in world history. In fact, millions of people read and study the Chumash. And that just goes to show you Unkulus' own greatness, which is a whole class in itself, why he was one of the greatest commentaries and converts to ever live. But it's very beautiful just to show that we have to work on our midot now. And this is really the purpose of why we're here. So it's not... Any questions? Okay. Wow, amazing. It's not unusual to see a wealthy millionaire who is not able to eat more than crackers and milk. He's put on a strict diet because otherwise he would die. He looks at other people enjoying mouth-watering meals, and yet he eats only what a poor man can eat. Ve'yu etzlo pikadon. An unworthy rich man's wealth is like a deposit that Hashem has put in his care. Sheshomer oto min hapegaim. For him to guard him against misfortune. Ad sheyashuv lemi shehu ra'uy lo. Until it is turned over to the for whom the money is intended to go to. Hashem assigns this rich man's money to somebody else, and so he has no benefit from his wealth. That is what commonly happens. Rich men don't really enjoy their money. Again, saying it inside, but we just said a second ago. They can't, amazing. They can't eat enough and they can't travel enough. They try, but it's too much money. So what's their money being used for? Nothing. It's only a deposit for them to guard until the time comes when Hashem gives it to someone else who's meant to use that money in the right way. As it says, to the sinner he has given the urge to gather and amass money, to give over to somebody else that is good in the eyes of Hashem. Sometimes in life Hashem will give a lot of money to a person who doesn't deserve it, just to give that money to someone who does deserve it. And you can see that with the stock market. A bunch of people are investing, and Baruch Hashem, sometimes the righteous person pulls out. All that money that one person had to lie for and to trick and to steal, it goes to someone that actually truly deserves it. Hashem is truly running the world. And it doesn't always mean that Hashem gives it to a tzaddik, but he may decide to take it from the miser and give it to someone else. So when a wealthy man is saving the money, not for himself, but for someone else, the recipient may be a child or a stranger, but the bottom line is that the miser doesn't take the money with him. Ve'amar, yachin v'tzadik yilbash, and it says, the wicked man prepares a beautiful wardrobe, but he dies and the righteous man wears the garments. This is exactly the story of Purim. All the effort Haman did, and he made the tall pole, etc. In the end, what happened with the horse and the garments? Mordechai took it, and Haman led him through the town. And the same pole he used that he wanted to hang Mordechai with, that was used for his own demise. And what he wanted to hurt Mordechai with, everything was turned against him. The beautiful, complete 180 string of events. Ve'amar, as it says, v'kesef naki yachalok, and his money is distributed among the innocent. People who are not as wicked as he is will get all of his money. V'efshar sheyeh mamon sibat ra'ato. It is also possible that the money becomes the cause of his misfortune. V'avdan nafsho, and the ruination of his life and his soul. Kemo she'amar katuv, as it says in Kohelet, yesh ra'ah chola ra'iti tachat ha'shemesh. There is an evil sickness that I have seen under the sun. Osher shamur livalav la'ra'ato. Wealth that is kept for its owner for his own harm. Which is the scariest thing that can happen to a person. To have money, but to have no blessing with that money. People are often killed, or their children are kidnapped just because they're wealthy. It is not unusual for rich people to suffer more than others just because of their wealth. And that is the stop of today. Does anybody have any questions or any comments, or wants to say anything? Or do we wrap up? Anything, feel free. No? We're clear? Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. No one has any questions, no comments, nothing?
Come on, guys. Ask a question.
No, last week, we had 40 minutes of back and forth. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. And of course, the last message of tonight is focus on speaking to Hashem. I would like for everyone to go home tonight or tomorrow, whatever it is. Of course, you don't have to listen to what I say. But I can promise you one thing. Yeah.
I just want to make a comment. Speaking to Hashem. I also didn't know about speaking to Hashem. And I've actually been doing Tikkun Akali. And speaking of Gedalia Fencer, he tells you, do Tikkun Akali, speak to Hashem after you read the 10 verses, and you will see the miracles happen. And I can tell you that by just, you know, at first, like Jonathan said, it's not easy to just say what's on your mind, and you maybe have, like, blockages. But what you're doing with the Tehillim before you actually speak to Hashem is you're opening yourself up. So I can attest to that, that now I've seen a lot more things happen to me, and I'm getting more and more closer, and that's all it's about. It's just getting closer to him. So you guys should really take that upon yourself if you can.
Yeah, the pasuk says Baruch Kavod Hashem Imekoma. You bless and you praise and you speak to Hashem from where you're at. Where we're at right now, it's exactly where we need to be, and there's nowhere else that we need to be. Sometimes we can think to ourselves, oh well, if we would have done this, we would have been here. Exactly where we're at in this exact moment is exactly where Hashem wants us to be. And all He wants us to do is to wear a smile, and a big smile, in fact. I actually learned something very interesting. The Chafetz Chaim says that our face is not even ours, so we were given this face to smile with it. So all we have to do is to smile, to be happy, to know that everything is okay, everything is better than okay. Hashem's designing the world, He's running everything for us, and to the extent that we let go and trust Him, and let go and let Hashem, that is to the extent that we will feel happy, that we will feel joy, we will feel that Hashem is watching us, taking care of us, and loving us. Like Rav Meir Eliyahu says, if everyone can come to this world and to feel once in their life a hug and a kiss from Hashem, the entire mad trip to this world was worth it. And really my blessing to the crowd is, and V'rat Hashem, to take this home, to talk to Hashem, to develop a relationship with Him, and we will feel many, many hugs and kisses from our Creator, and that will fill up our day, it will fill up our life, and it will make anything that we're doing at any point in time fun and pleasurable and divine and intended and planned out. And with that, I V'rat Hashem, everyone should talk to Hashem, to get close to Him, and we'll see you next week. Yeah.
What you had us recite before?
Which one? Oh, the before, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I trust you, Hashem, and I'm relying on you, Hashem.
No, we've never done before all that one.
Oh, this is the part?
Yeah.
First part. The first part was a personal note. All right, I'll write it on the chat. Thank you, everyone.